Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today I sit down with Jelani Blackman and we have a delightful chat. Jelani's about to drop his new record on November the 10th and we talk about that. And we talk about some amazing records and we finish on a real mutual love as well. We finish on a possibly the greatest record ever made. And there is a lot of mutual love around it as well. It's such a delightful chat, this one. I can't wait for you to hear it. But before we crack on with that, a few thank yous. I always like to thank Scroobius Pip, who really helped this career in podcasting for me. And thankfully put this on his Distraction Pieces network, which is a wonderful network, absolutely rammed with some glorious podcasts. And so go check out the Distraction Pieces network and explore all the pods that are available over there for free. I'd like to thank the team at the Blue Murder Club podcast because it's the team over there that produced this pod. And it's a wonderful podcast, is the Blue Murder Club. And you may even recognise a few of the guests that have been guests on this show. And they produce this. So big thanks to them. Big thanks always to you lot for supporting the pod. You know, it's so nice to get to have these conversations and have them appreciated by my lovely listenership that just keeps on growing, and it's so nice, and it's wonderful that you send me little messages, you know. And if you've ever got any guests that you want to see me chat to, drop us a message. You know, I'm on Facebook, Twitter and Insta, so while you're over there, give us a follow. That's important. Let's get that bit in. As well as that, big thanks to Tom for facilitating this interview. Tom's been really supportive of Off the Beaten Track over the years and has been responsible for lining up some great guests for me. So big thanks to Tom, who's got a fantastic Alan Partridge podcast. Make sure you go and check out Monkey Tennis. I'm sure you do already. But big thanks to Tom Dark. What a top man he is. There's a Patreon on Off the Beaten Track, and if you'd like to support the pod, got two new followers this week, which is lovely, over on Patreon. And it just costs you $1 a month, which is about 70 pence. And you get to watch all the episodes over there. You get to get access to hundreds of never released episodes, radio shows, playlists, mixtapes, and you also get to come to the monthly online live show where you have an opportunity to feature and put your two penny in when we discuss all sorts of tunes and all sorts of music related stuff, not in a snobby way, in a really nice way. And there's such a lovely bunch of people join us each month over there, so come along. I'd love to have you there. If Jelani is the reason that you've discovered this podcast, that's great. And when you finish this chat with Jelani, go and have a look in the archives because there's so many episodes to be enjoyed. Let's get on with it, ladies and gentlemen. Jelani Blackman.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces network with me, Stu Whiffin.
Okay, we are recording. Jelani, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, bro. I'm good.
Lovely.
Yeah, how's things? How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Yeah. I received your tracks, and I'm looking forward to discussing them today. And let's kick things off. And I'm going to ask you, please, to tell me the song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
So, this is so tough. They're all, do you know what? I would just say they're all, there were some tricky ones, but this was the hardest because
everyone says that, man. That's so weird. Everyone says it's this one's the tough one.
Yeah, because like a good intro makes a good song, and there are so many great songs. So Yeah, this was really tough. But I think the one that makes me laugh and also like sets up the tone of the track better than, I think it's top tier, is Tupac Hit 'Em Up.
Love it.
Because there's just, you just know you're just in, and it's just so good and it's perfect. Like there's not a lot of well-known, like I guess beef, like clash tracks in rap. Like they're like, considering how fundamental it is as a part of, I guess, the genre in terms of like competitiveness and like, yeah, people rapping, there aren't like loads of massive songs that people know as songs.
Yeah.
But like, this is a tune. So yeah, so I think Hit 'Em Up. Yeah, Tupac Hit 'Em Up.
And I mean, it's surreal that we're talking about the beef that Tupac had the day after, whatever, however many years later, somebody, I don't know if you know, somebody got charged with the murder of him yesterday. I mean, that's fucking surreal, right?
Yeah, it is weird. That kind of stuff, it happens a lot. I feel like it's a good sign if you're in the flow of the universe when that happens. If you're like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, props to that guy that has literally just stuck his teeth in and not let go for 20 years and has brought him to, you know, brought this guy to justice. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's to be fair, the whole situation is so sus. Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Shook. I think everybody thinks that's what the situation was. But so whether it was him on someone else's, what's it called, command or whatever, is another question. But yeah, it seems like he was the guy.
Absolutely. Yeah. In regards to intros, Jelani, you know, you're releasing music now in a time where people are consuming their music via, you know, Spotify playlists. There's emphasis on the power of, you know, TikTok and music. I just wonder how these kind of trends in getting your music out, because it feels that people's attention spans are getting shorter and shorter and you've got to hook them straight away.
Mm. Yeah.
Does any of that sort of thing and the you know, the need to get on the right Spotify playlist and to utilize TikTok as well as a marketing avenue for your music, does any of that kind of hook 'em quickly filter through into your creative process?
No, not really. I mean, maybe it should, but it doesn't. but I'm an intros man anyway. Like, yeah, if from the get go, like that's always been something which I've appreciated as it's. Is where the song starts its life. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I wouldn't expect anybody to listen on further if they didn't love the beginning. And I think for me as well, it's one of those things where playing live, you know, if you start a song, the response when people hear that first bit, it's kind of like, that it gets you excited. So that's what an intro should do anyway. I think, but it's a valid point, and I know that more and more people are kind of creating smaller pockets of catchiness. It's always been what music is to an extent now.
Absolutely. Well, look, I'm going to take you back for track two, and I'm going to ask you please to tell me the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you.
So Usher had a few, but I think, in terms of, I guess, a little bit more grown-up emotion as opposed to just excited,
sure,
thing, like, I think it was that, and again, that was my own personal one as well, as opposed to like music that my mum might have played, which I had an emotional response to, like Mary J. Blige or Lauryn Hill or whatever, like that, they were different. But Usher, that CD really got me. To be fair, Craig David as well, I loved R&B. I still have a massive soft spot for like R&B, although I don't listen to it as much as I did when I was younger, but yeah, it was that. It's that thing, you know, kids are so funny. Like, they'll sing their woes and troubles away about a situation that they've never heard they've never experienced before in their life. Let it burn, and they're like, never even kissed a girl, but heartbreaking, heart-wrenching stuff. And I think that's what that song made me feel, which is like just incredible, the power of music, that it can make you feel things that you've never felt in real life, that you've never actually experienced. But yeah, that Usher song definitely got me.
You just referenced your mum playing Lauryn Hill or Mary J. Blige. Growing up, was home musical?
Mm. Yeah, super musical. There's always music on, like Radio 1 a lot, and just always I always felt like I had access to it, to be honest. Like, I don't have any siblings, so it wasn't coming from them, which is how a lot of people get like their music and like, I guess, get cool music of the time. But I was getting good music because I was, my mom grew up in the 70s and 60s and 70s. So like, and further back. So there's a lot of jazz and classical and everything. So yeah, very musical in my household.
Wonderful. Well, for track three, let's stay in those formative years. And I'm going to ask you to tell me the song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
Yeah, so Mario, You Should Let Me Love You, is of a lot of song. Again, it was a hard time. This was I don't even care. This shows my age, but like, it was MP3 era, so it was still like switching songs on phones, like, and transferring and stuff like that, and burning CDs and that kind of vibe. So songs had a little bit more significance when they landed.
Yeah,
it wasn't so hard and throwaway, or like moving on from a playlist. There wasn't that kind of vibe. It was like a song would be getting played. And I think I chose this song because there's one specific moment that I have as a memory of being in the playground in my secondary school and this girl like doing a dance to this song.
Right.
And like, it just really stuck. And that, again, that's another funny thing. And it, like, kids think like TikTok dances and stuff are new, and like, that's this new generation. It's just that they're being filmed. But kids have always danced to songs. Yeah. Like, teenagers have always made dances to songs, to popular tunes. It's always been a thing. But I just have a really clear image of it. And for me, like, that was my secondary school vibe. It was that. It was moments like that where you just had, I don't know, a little thing of just on the border of becoming an adult, kind of, or like a little bit older, but you're not quite. But like, and you're not. You think you're really cool. So like, I'm sure if this girl looked back now at that moment, she'd be like, "Oh my God, what was I doing?" but yeah, so that's why I chose that, and it was a big song at the time. There were loads of like rap tunes and stuff, and like grime as well. But yeah, that song particularly was. I haven't met that school moment reminds me of it.
It's fascinating talking to someone that just referenced that sort of MP3 player generation, and because I always kind of, when I speak to artists that are older than yourself, you know, we'll talk about, you know, when you get a record and you'd cherish it because you know you could only afford one every few weeks, and it'd be like you'd play both sides and you'd play it to death because, you know, you couldn't afford it. And now we live in a world where everything is there in a heartbeat. You know, you go on Spotify, within seconds you've got the whole world of music, you know. And that does devalue it in a certain way, I think, you know. Whereas,
yeah, it does.
And I love the fact that I've never considered that before, but I know the first MP3 I played, I had, I think I could get about 15 tracks on it. And like,
yeah. So, it's like 128 meg.
And what's weird is if I hear one of them tracks that was on that MP3 player that I used to go out and when I go running, I put it on, I automatically think the next track's going to be something else. And it's like, no, hang on. It's just ingrained because I cherish that little kind of playlist that I had on an MP3 player. It's crazy, isn't it, to think the value you put on them songs, because you will really absorb them rather than if you're on YouTube or you're on Spotify all the time you're listening.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And looking, there's something down the side saying, you might like this, you might like this. There's constant distractions. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, 100%. It was completely different. I mean, my one, I think my most significant one was like this little Ministry of Sound, black. It was like a little rectangle. And it was so sick, really. I think I still have it somewhere. But I just remember I was more interested in the amount of songs I could get on. So they were like the last 15 seconds of every track was cut off. So there are some songs that I know really well up until like 3/4 of the way through, and then it's just done. But yeah, it was a special time for like music, and then you had to really like choose what songs you wanted to have on there. So even though you still had the kind of flexibility of not having to carry around CDs or whatever, songs still had quite a lot of meaning, and like whether you wanted to listen to it at that point, whether you were done with that song, whether you're ready to move on. Whereas now you don't have to make those decisions. So you don't have the same relationship with music. You don't have to be like, am I finished with this song? Yeah. How much more enjoyment this time round am I going to listen to it? Is it going to give me? Yeah, no, it's fascinating. So I'm just thinking about it as a time. It was it was crazy.
And in regards to being at school, was music always the focus? Was it always going to be, right, I'm going to try and carve out a career within music? Or was there other things that you was considering then?
No, I guess I just always did it. It was kind of like second nature to me from a really early age. I started playing sax when I was 9.
Yeah.
And so like it was always going to be something that I did in school as well. I didn't ever love it academically, to be honest, but I did it all the way up until uni. I was better at English. I was better at psychology. I wanted to have a different life to the life that studying those things would have given me.
Sure.
So it's always, it's just been a constant, and it's always interesting to think about moments in, I guess, in my career and when it's been a career, when it hasn't, when it was fun. For so, like being from London, you just take a lot for granted in terms of what you're around and the people that you're around and like the situations that you find yourself in. I think that I didn't ever really have to, being honest, I didn't have to think about it that much until, it wasn't until the end of my first record deal that I ever really took stock of what was going on.
Yeah,
because it had all been so seamless and it'd always been so easy. And then it was only when I was leaving my first deal, and I was just like, oh, actually, shit, this is what I want to do.
Yeah,
I want to do anything else. All right, cool. Let's actually start taking some steps to make it a thing. So yeah, but school was not really good. I used to spit all the time in school though. I was known for rapping in school. Yeah.
Staying in these formative years for one more track. Tell me about the first record you remember buying from a record store. I mean, I say record store. It probably just downloaded it off a Napster or whatever it was.
No, it was. It was a record store. It's actually, wait, I'll show you this because it was so cool. I went to Freeze Art Fair on Sunday, and they had one of these, and it just went. I'm sure it will do the same thing. I mean, different version, but like.
Nice listening post. Yeah. I love a listening post.
Do you remember them?
Of course.
Yeah. That's how I found my first CDs. Yeah, when I was really young, there used to be a Virgin Megastores in Whiteleys because I grew up in West London.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll be honest with you. There are a few. I think I definitely had a Spice Girls CD.
Yeah, let's be honest here, man. Come on, let's not start trying to be cool, man.
I was young enough that, and I think that this is quite a pure thing, actually. I think it's nice. I was young enough when they were out that, like, the whole, like, it being a boy thing or a girl thing or whatever, or it being cool was irrelevant. And I just really liked the songs, I think. So I had a Spice Girls CD when I was younger. Yeah, I did. And it always used to be on, like, Saturday morning TV as well. So I think it was just like, I like that. But the first CD that I think I really invested in myself and like it was something that I love was Craig David, Born to Do It.
That'd
the
do
blue
it.
CD, one of him with his hands on the
What's interesting? What I like about that, if we're talking about records and CDs, and what I do think is lost a little bit, without kind of wanting to sound like a, you know, a miserable old man saying it was better in my day, but the one thing, you know, I love Spotify and I love the way that people have access to everything now, but the one thing I do think is lost is the power of the album artwork, because you don't, it's not that tangible anymore. And that Greg David cover is so iconic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you just see that and it's like, that's Greg David's album. And like, whereas so much music gets released now where you're looking at a, you know, a small square on the phone.
Or not even, or just the, literally just the words. Like, because lots of people don't go, if you see it in a playlist, you might not necessarily click on it as a song.
Absolutely.
You might just add it to another playlist and you actually might never even see the artwork.
Completely, completely. So I do think that's something that I do feel he's lost a little bit. Whenever you see these magazines or these, you know, these articles about the greatest, you know, album cover artwork ever, there's generally nothing from the last 20 years. It's all kind of backwards from there, really. And I think that's a real shame. But I do think it's just, it is a sign of the times, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think for the mixtape I put out, it definitely was a secondary consideration, if I'm being completely honest. For this, because this is my debut album.
Yeah.
I maybe it is a generational thing, but I put some time into what it was going to be. So I'm really happy and proud of the artwork that I've got for this album. I put it up somewhere. I'm sure I will at some point.
I think it's really important that, you know, and I think it's great that, you know, artists are still putting real value on that. And in a world where so much music is on playlists now, you know, I like the fact that artists still try and create albums as a body of work, you know, to be listened to as a piece of work and as a piece of art. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. Definitely. I mean, I guess it kind of comes down to your audience and the music you make. And like you were saying earlier, I think there was a wave, obviously, when TikTok, obviously it's still having its moment, but like the first TikTok generation, where the power of it as an app really changed how people were engaging with music and how quickly people were blown up. It was kind of back to like one hit wonder era, where you would have like the power of the industry, so to speak. So you'd have like radio and press and whatever. They decide that there was going to be an artist. It was a really good song. It might just be one song, but like they were like, this is going to be a track. And then it would go out. It would be everywhere. Everyone would hear it. And like that artist would probably be set for life because of royalties. And like that kind of model disappeared for a little while in the same kind of way, because it took a lot more to build up an artist. You might have an artist with a song that was big, but like they'd then be signed and it'd still work on it. It was the one hit wonder thing kind of dropped off a bit. And then YouTube and then TikTok came along and brought it back.
Yeah.
Because it gave the same kind of power of distribution that had been lacking through like dilution in like DSPs, or like all the Spotify's and stuff like that. They didn't have the same kind of impact, direct impact on like deciding if a song was going to go to number one and et cetera. But then TikTok came along and brought it back. So you had a little while where it became irrelevant to make albums. But I do think that, as with all things, it's cyclical. People go through phases, and really people are starting to understand now that to build a career properly, you still have to have that kind of fundamental foundation of building up a body of work, building up a fan base. And that comes from things like albums.
Yeah.
It doesn't just from albums and also content, but like it comes from the music.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
To come from music first, and I think people are understanding it.
Absolutely. Let's go clubbing. Tell me the song that soundtracked your years in Clubland. I mean, you're a young man. You're still going clubbing, right?
Well, so my answer to this is like, it sounded a little bit like blunt, but it is true. Is that I've never been clubbing.
It's what not is really it with musicians? I've done 500 of these episodes, and every single person says, "Nah, I weren't really into clubbing." It's like, yeah. I don't know if all these artists are just too busy creating.
Yeah, well, I guess that was it. Like, it was for me. My teenage years were a combination of just hanging out on the street and in blocks, and or being inside someone's house.
Yeah.
And smoking and making music, like that was pretty much entire. I wasn't even really going to parties like that. That came later. It was when I was like in college and stuff. But yeah, never clubs. I don't really like clubs. And I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy to go up to like a girl at a bar and be like, hey.
I've no idea how people do that. Like, I've run a nightclub for 30 years, and in them 30 years, never once have I ever had the stones to go and do that. It's like, I could never do it.
No way.
The thought of being turned down, man, it's catastrophic.
Yeah, no, I know. yeah, no, it was never my bag. So my answer to this was the song that I associate with that time when I would have been at clubs is like K&O, P's and Q's, because that kind of like, that energy, that grime energy is what kind of, so if school was very R&B, like rap and grime energy was what I was listening to when I was on road and like walking on streets and stuff. That was what it was like. And it's such a good tune anyway, but like, I think literally the video for it, in my mind, that's what was happening.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know the video where he's like, it's just very London and it's like city lights and him walking through and rah, rah, but yeah. So no, that's my song for that time. No club bangers. No David Gale.
That's way cooler, mate.
Yeah.
Love it. I mean, the legend that is Kano, mate. I mean, it's ridiculous, right?
Like,
everything that guy touches turns to gold.
Yeah. Nah, he's a solid part of the fabric of UK music. And London music, obviously, particularly my kind of musical upbringing. Mm. Like grime is like my, if R&B is the yin, then grime is the yang. Do you know what I mean? Like that's what it is for me. And even though I've moved away from it kind of in terms of the music, that especially in this album, it's still fundamental to how I write and the energy that I perform with. So yeah.
Well, let's keep it in the home county. And for track six, your favourite song from home?
So I consider myself from London. I mean, I am from London, but as in, like, I can consider myself from like all of London because half my family's from South. I grew up in West. I live in East, and I've lived in East for like the last 6-7 years. And I went to school in Northish, and all my friends are from Camden and rah, rah. So home county for me, that's London.
Yeah.
And like I think at least one of the London anthems is Did You See? Because when that dropped, J-Hus, Did You See? Because when that when that came out, you just couldn't escape it, but you didn't want to. And like, you just knew that at any function, any party, whatever it was, it's just a beautiful moment when there's a song that you know everyone's going to sing at the same time. And it's so rare for them to happen nowadays because you get like classics.
Yeah.
From, I guess, school days where it's like retro stuff and you're like reminiscing about being 13, 14. But to have a song that came out when you were like in your 20s and that still have the same amount of nostalgia and universal appeal, and you know everyone's gonna sing it's super rare. Yeah. So like, I think that has to be my favorite song for like, yeah, for the culture, for the community.
Definitely. Love it. That's a solid choice as well, mate. Okay, this is your last track, and this is when you get to be a tastemaker, and or as the TikTok generation call it, influencer. And,
yeah.
and this is a song that you think many people may not know that you would like them to hear.
Yeah, this is another one where there were loads that I was thinking of that I would have liked to select, but I think this because of the way that I found it, I was lying in a bed that wasn't my own bed, and someone's parents were playing this tune, or it was playing downstairs, and I knew it, but I didn't quite know it, and I'd always loved it, but I didn't know what it was called.
Yeah.
And it's Beach Boys, God Only Knows, and it's just so beautiful. It's a beautiful tune, and I think I watched a documentary on him and the process of making this album and how much he went through to like push it, because it was radical and experimental for the time, and everybody expected a certain thing from him and them, and he just went fuck you all and did his own thing and this was one of the songs that it produced, and I love it. It's a beautiful piece of music.
It's an absolute masterpiece. That album Pet Sounds is, you know, for anybody that is a producer, go and listen to that. And I was lucky enough, I went to a small theatre in Southend about 5 years ago, and Brian Wilson was touring Pet Sounds, and he was playing these huge arenas, and for some reason he came to Southend. And I managed to get a ticket, and he played Pet Sounds in its entirety, and then he played like all the other sort of Beach Boys hits. But he had a phenomenal band with him. You can imagine Brian Wilson's going to have the best session musicians on the planet in his band. And he was playing all these songs, sounded just absolutely phenomenal. And then they all just disappeared, and he sat at a piano, and the spotlight lit him up, and he played God Only Knows.
No way!
Jelani, I've never been in a venue where I've seen so many middle-aged men all not wanting to look at each other because everyone's bottom lip was wobbling and everyone was tearing up, man. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. It was off the scale, the emotion that come from him, because his voice is a little fractured now. It's not quite what it was because obviously of his age, but oh my God, just a perfect song, and to see it in that environment and his voice cracking a little bit, like just added to it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, 100%. That's crazy. Do you know what? And like, even that as the setup says so much about it as a song that it is better stripped back. Yeah. I think any song that's better stripped back is testament to how powerful and well written it is. That's amazing. I got chilled from you describing it.
Well, look, we're talking about everyone else's music. And before we start to wrap this, let's talk about your music. What's going on?
It's a lot, to be honest. I'm doing lots of album campaign bits at the moment because it's out on November 10th, which is soon. It's just like, it's creeping, but I'm excited. And this is the best music that I've ever made. So I'm really, really excited about people getting a chance to listen to it. I think that for me, for a lot of, I guess, what I would call the Jelani stage of my career, I've maybe invested less in the... Well, at the beginning, it was very much about the music, and then it was more just about getting people to understand me.
Yeah.
And now I've come kind of full circle, and the music feels like it did when I first started making, the Jelani stuff. And it's got depth to it, and like the harmonies and melodies and the instrumentation, it's music that I think I'll look back on in 20 years and be like, I'm very proud and happy that that's... I basically tried to make some classics. I tried to do some God Only Knows and that kind of thing. And that's how I'm feeling.
Oh, fantastic. Would it be shows?
There will be shows. There'll be a tour, but it'll be at the beginning of next year.
Okay.
But there's going to be some bits around the album that keep track. Follow me on Insta and TikTok, and I'll make sure that, it comes up, because there's going to be some fun stuff.
Well, we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany this podcast as well, Jelani. So we add all of the songs that we've spoken about today, and obviously we'll put your material on there as well. And if people want to keep up to speed with you, you mentioned Instagram there. If people want to find out about shows, anything that's going on around the album, where's the best place to keep up to speed with you?
Insta, I reckon, yeah. Is, well, definitely, yeah, it's the best place.
Well, if it's cool with you, when this episode drops, we'll tag you in it, and so if anybody that's listening isn't following you already, then they can do so, and go and check out everything that that you're up to.
Yeah, for sure. That sounds good.
Wonderful. Jelani, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Yeah, man, good fun. Mate. Thank you so much. Yeah. And I'm literally going to finish this up now and go and listen to the Beach Boys again now.
I've just As you were describing it, I was like, that's definitely the next thing that I'm doing.
Oh, fantastic. Jelani, have a lovely day, mate. Best of luck with the record. And I hope to get along to one of the shows in 2024, man. It's been an 100%. Absolute delight. Thanks loads, my friend.
Yeah, yeah. Big love, brother. In a bit.
Take it easy, man. Bye-bye.
Nice, man. Bye.
There you have it. Thank you very much, Jelani. What a lovely guy. Go check out his music now. Why not go and watch one of the shows when they happen? Go enjoy the Spotify playlist with all of them tracks that we've spoken about today. Go check out the back catalogue. There's over 500 episodes. You can hear my chats with the likes of Fatboy Slim, Yellow Wolf, Chuck D of Public Enemy, Aloe Black, The Foo Fighters, The Killers, Suede, comedians, James Acaster, Maisie Adam, Ed Gamble, some incredible acting talent, including the likes of David Duchovny of X-Files, Maxine Peake, Thomas Turgoose, Michael Smiley, through to just go and explore. I'm not going to tell you anymore. And they're all available for free. And as mentioned at the beginning, if you'd like to support the podcast, head over to Patreon. Links to everything about this podcast is on the website, which is www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. I'm back next time. In the meantime, be nice to each other. See you soon. Bye-bye.